This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome into 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Drew Kreisman, and I'm not quite sure excited is the right word to use today, but I'm definitely highly intrigued and motivated to be talking about some Colorado Rockies baseball with you here on the show. But before I dive too deep into it, I've got to tell you about our friends at BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played, or fights being fought, I suppose. When the game's over, head over to the online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. And you probably knew this one was coming. I love to talk about umpires, don't I? Well, there's a reason for all of that. And I'm going to dive into, of course, this whole mess with Lance Barksdale last night, and the Rockies blowing this huge lead to the Dodgers. And as I've said many times before, this will be the exception to the rule of me rarely taking a whole podcast to break down one game. But this is really not about one game. And that's the first thing that I want to make abundantly clear, and I'm going to do as much of this as I can, though I'm sure everything that I'm going to say up front here will remain ignored by any of the people who just don't want to have the conversation. But the perfect reason to have this conversation right now is because, as any of you listening, regular listeners know, I do not care about the outcomes of any individual Rockies games right now. In fact, if anything, going back to the beginning of last year, I have been advocating that the Rockies lose as many ball games as is reasonable without it getting historically terrible, because I do think that that can start to wear on the franchise, right? But I think that ultimately, in the long term, the best case scenario is for the Rockies to get as high a draft pick as possible to add to what they currently have in the minor leagues. And so a lot of times when you're critical of umpires, people will try to dismiss all of it as coming from a place of bias because you're just mad that, quote, your team lost, right? Putting aside the fact that the Colorado Rockies aren't my team, they're just the team that I cover. And yes, everybody who knows me knows that I grew up watching them and rooting for them. And yes, of course, it's the case that when you spend all your time down there and you get to know these guys, some of them you tend to care about on a more individual level. And I think that's only natural as well. But again, I do not care. I have long divorced myself from even discussing with you on this show individual outcomes of games. As I have said many, many times, and I'm sorry, I know this is repeating for a lot of you regular listeners, but for the sake of this conversation, it's important to remember that this has all been big picture. When it comes to talking about the Rockies right now, everything has been big picture, right? The bad things are really only importantly bad if they're long-term. And the good things are only importantly good if they're long-term. Both of those things are true, right? Now, specifically on this, the caveat that everyone wants to seem to think that you can't hold these two thoughts in your head at the same time. And this is why it's important to do it now. The Rockies' bullpen has been atrocious all season. Tyler Kinley in particular has been really bad all year. And now I understand a certain tendency to want to jump into why would Bud Black have him out there in the first place? And we can dive back into that if we want. But right now, frankly, outside of, as we've talked about, Jalen Beeks and Victor Vodnik are the only two guys out there who have above average numbers this year. It's been atrocious. Nobody, and I do mean literally nobody, anywhere that I've seen on Twitter today or wherever else in the Discord chat, I haven't seen anybody defending the Rockies bullpen or saying, man, they were really, really great. And the only reason that they gave up all of those runs is because of the one bad call, right? This is another one of those things that when people defend bad umpiring, they will often use a logic. And all of the logic that they use, they would never apply to the player, the GM, the manager, right? So you can say with any game, every single game, baseball game, football game, basketball game, doesn't matter. They're never won or lost on one play, ever. That's just not how, except, well, if it's a buzzer beater, you can, you know, then we're going to, of course, focus on that. When it's the very last play of the game, it gets a little more notice than, yeah, sometimes in the second quarter or the fourth inning or whatever it is, right? Sometimes the game is won and lost there. But ultimately, the burden of proof for saying that was a bad call, that's bad umpiring, that shouldn't happen, shouldn't be, first of all, that it definitely and without question cost your team the game. That shouldn't be the burden of proof, right? We shouldn't be like, well, we can just excuse and hand wave all bad umpiring as long as it isn't the definitive factor in what costs you the game. Oh, and then we can also very conveniently hide behind the fact that no individual call or no individual play ever definitively costs anybody anything, right? So they can sit there and say, well, don't give up the home run on the next pitch. How about don't give a guy with 18 home runs on the season 4 strikes? The people who are making excuses are the ones who are defending the umpiring. Because after that game, Tyler Kinley and Victor Vodnik had to go and answer questions from the media. I didn't happen to be there last night. I did pregame yesterday, and I'll be down there again today. But they have to answer questions. If certain things go bad enough, long enough, guys get cut, guys get traded. There's accountability there. And we do talk about when individual plays, if a guy makes an error, think about it this way, right? There's two ways I want to reframe this script. So let's say that what happens there is not that Lance Barksdale misses the call on the check swing, but rather that Teoscar hits a ground ball to first base and Michael Tolia boots it. And now the bases are loaded and the next guy hits a home run. Everyone would be saying that error cost them the game. Because if Michael Tolia just picks up the baseball and steps on first, the ball game would have been over. After the game, when asked about this theoretical possibility, Michael Tolia would... I'm sorry to make him the... make it anybody. Make it somebody who's got, gold glove. It was Tovar or whatever, right? They would have to stand there and say... And they would tell you to your face... Well, to my face at the very least. And then I would put it out there on Twitter, an article form or whatever... That play cost us the game. My mistake, my error cost us the game. I think it's extraordinarily funny that people want to say in one breath, the bad call that should have ended the game didn't cost the Rockies the game, but one pitch that Victor Vodnik threw did. So again, if you're going to recognize that one pitch, one play, one thing can be what we focused in on if we do it with the players, then it's the same thing with the umpires. And of course, the other way to flip the script around is the way that everybody, even I saw a ton of Dodgers fans online recognizing, which is that if that had been the other way, and the Rockies are up to plate in that situation, and that's a check swing off of a Dodgers pitcher, that is called a strike and the ball game is over 100 times out of 100, and anyone being honest with themselves knows it. And that's why all of this other stuff about, but the bullpen was bad, but the very next pitch, but this, but that, but whatever, those are all excuses for bad umpiring, because the truth is, in professional sports, it's always a very thin margin. There's always that possibility of what if, but, and however. The ball game should have been over. End of story. And that there's anyone, and I will say, I thought there were going to be a lot more people defending this, and there's always a certain group. First of all, of course, you're going to have a certain number of Dodgers fans who are okay with it, right? And there's always a community of folks out there who really come out to defend umpires when some of this stuff goes down. But I've seen even a lot of them either more quiet on the issue or simply going, yeah, they missed that one. They do the but, you know, but this and that and the other. But of course, both things are true. That's what's most important here. Yes, the Rockies bullpen is terrible. Again, I haven't seen anybody saying otherwise anywhere, right? They not only were they terrible last night, they've been terrible all season. And they did a lot of things to lose that game. That said, ball game should have been over. Those things are both true. And if you can only recognize one of those realities and not both of them, then you are the one who is making excuses. And while it doesn't matter at all for the Rockies, because they're 20-something games under 500, and like I said, in the long term, it maybe even helps them out. Because in the long term, they played a pretty darn good baseball game. Their starter got into the seventh, four-hit day for Brenton Doyle, 9 runs on the board and all that, and then you end up losing on a bunch of wonky nonsense, a lot of which was your own fault, a lot of which was the umpire's fault, and in the grand scheme of how this rebuild is coming along, that doesn't impact you at all. It just on a single night is extraordinarily frustrating to watch, right? Now, if I'm one of the other National League leaders out there, I am a little bit miffed that the Los Angeles Dodgers just had a game taken out of the loss column that, yes, they then managed to put themselves. Again, you got to be able to recognize both those things are true. That game should have been over with an L. Did the Dodgers then go on to do good things to earn the W thereafter? Yeah, both things are true. That said, if I'm watching this from the perspective of somebody else out there, you know, leading their division or in the wild card hunt in the National League, which is everybody anymore with the extra wild card spots, you know, I would probably be a lot more miffed about it. And obviously, if this was a season where the Rockies were competitive, there would be that extra angle of frustration. But this is one of those times you can just sit back and go, actually, it kind of helps them. So thanks, I guess. But Major League Baseball should be embarrassed by that. These kinds of things are happening more and more. I think you all saw the play. It was the White Sox and the Orioles, right, where the ball game ended on a base runner interference call. That's just like, you know, it's just doing way too much. We've had several this year, from the Jacob Stallings home run that was called an out, not even turned into a ground rule double, but changed into an out. The Kyle Freeland slide in Philadelphia, where he ended up getting hurt, but it was also very clearly blocking of the plate. And so, you know, from the New York reviews that have gone on, and there have been some incredibly wonky ones this year, it's just unfortunate that umpires are having such an impact on the game lately. And it's part of the reason why, and this is the other thing that I wanted to talk about, the robots are coming, right? Now, we've seen pushback, and I don't think I have time on this episode. I'll talk about this in the future. I'm a little bit frustrated with the way that Major League Baseball has handled this, but they're still moving toward a better system, with the challenge system going to be introduced into AAA next week. I talked to Bud Black about that yesterday, so like I said, I'm going to do a deeper dive on that in the future, but all of that is happening because we live in this era now where people can look on their high-definition TVs. Anyone can look in. And like I said, there's always going to be the handful of people that want to point at anything else other than the fact that the guy missed the call that should have ended the game. And most people know what I said earlier, which is that if you flipped the script and it was the Rockies at the bat, and they had a check swing like that, the ball game would have ended.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And the reason I really dive into this stuff so much isn't because I want the Rockies to be 24 games under 500 instead of 25, right? And when the Rockies are good, the reason that I talk about umpires isn't because I believe they should be more games over this, that, or the other. First of all, I just have a fundamental belief in fairness and that sports are, at their core, all just a set of rules that should be applied fairly, and that's just foundational to the whole thing working. But secondarily, I know a ton of people, and this is completely anecdotal, but it's also not just my friends. There's people on Twitter that I've read up on this about the dying audiences for baseball in some ways, and then there's growing audiences for baseball in other ways. A lot of the rule changes that have come over the last several years have been an admission by Major League Baseball that they've been losing certain parts of their audience, that they're after a younger audience, some of which is working. Attendance was up last year. Ratings for the World Series and things like that are way down. So there are a lot of opinions on a lot of these kinds of things, but anecdotally, I just know a lot of people who don't watch baseball anymore. They love baseball. They love the game. But they can't root for their hometown team because their hometown team has no shot. The economics are so messed up. The umpires union has so much power. Things like the game, and to put it simply, the game feels rigged in favor of the Dodgers and the Yankees. And now, if you pay super close attention, I think you know that it's not that simple, and it's not that, and you may even think that that's not even true, right? But when things like this happen on a big scale, and people will even admit it, like the good teams are going to get like some people have even folded this into like the tapestry or the philosophy of the story of sports. Good teams and good players get the benefit of the doubt. They get the call, right? If Kobe Bryant goes up and takes a jump shot and he airballs it, but he kind of flailed around, blow the whistle. He probably got run into. And then you look on the replay with the technology that we have and you see no one touched him, right? But, you know, I think other sports have done better at embracing the fact that we live in that modern era and people just aren't going to accept clear and egregious mistakes when it comes to enforcing the rules. But baseball has so many weird, funky, random, right, subjective judgment call rules. And there are so many, you know, throughout history, people would just say it's a strike if he says it's a strike. People today talking about, you know, I always love it when people tell me this as if I wouldn't know. You know, the rule book doesn't define a check swing or what is or isn't a swing. It's entirely a judgment call. Well, isn't that convenient? All these years, we've had access to the rule book. We've changed things. We've got transponders now. You can't do the shift anymore. We've got a clock, all that stuff. And, you know, it's non-reviewable. It shouldn't be, right? It's like, how about write a clearer rule and make it reviewable? Things aren't good just because they've always been that way. And part of the reason it's important to have these conversations is so we can break through stuff like that. These little, you know, sayings that people have. You can't leave it in the hands of the umpire. Like a ball, how about a ball is a ball and a strike is a strike? And if we've got the technology to get it right, let's get it right. How about let's define what a swing is? And I think if the bat goes almost all the way around and crosses the plate, that's a swing. And I think that should be reviewable. And you can just look down and see if the bat crossed the plate. It was entirely in front of the plate. But if you're going to hide behind, well, it's an entirely subjective call. I mean, where's the limit to that? What if a guy swings all the way through and the umpire can just go, no, he didn't swing. I decided, because it's a subjective judgment call, that wasn't a swing, right? There is, of course, a limit to that logic. They'll just never tell you where it is. It's like, if they can just say that anything isn't a swing, including what we saw last night, I mean, okay, then there are no rules anymore. Again, it's a strike if he says it's a strike. If it bounces in front of the plate and the umpire decides to call a strike, then tough rocks, pal. Now, of course, they would say, well, they're not going to do that, but we got pretty close last night, and if there's no mechanism to stop them, then there should be. The rules on check swings need to be clarified? Cool. And make them reviewable. That's a pretty important thing. We've seen big, like, World Series games end on these types of calls. So maybe the rule should be clear. Maybe it shouldn't just be whatever Lance Barksdale feels like that day. That doesn't seem like a good way to allow strike three to be called or not called and potentially end a baseball game. To me, I think if we were writing the rules of baseball today, we would clarify what is and what is not a swing. And I think that's another thing that people oftentimes do when they want to avoid the conversation of the call was missed or that's never how that goes. That was egregious. It was costly. And say, well, the rule itself is so subjective. Then fix that too. Ultimately, though, at the end of the day, as I've often said, and we'll finish on one last time, a lot of this would be a lot easier to stomach, would be a lot easier of a conversation to be had if there was any kind of accountability. But as long as umpires don't have to answer questions, don't have to clarify themselves, don't have to cite the rule book publicly or any of those things, and people want to continue to put everything on the players, who, by the way, are accountable, then I'm going to be the person that comes out and says, no, we're not going to give them a pass. They're already getting as much of a pass as they can possibly get, right? The worst thing that's going to happen is people are going to be mad on Twitter and some guy is going to go off on his podcast. But there will be no consequences. There will be no public accountability for any of it. But the players deal with it every day. So I'm going to do whatever I can, what little I can, to try to hold the umpires accountable as well. Because I think that everyone involved in the game should be held to that level. And if we can admit that ball players make mistakes, and managers make mistakes, and GMs make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are costly, and they cost games, then we can admit that sometimes umpires make mistakes, and they cost games. And if you're never, ever, 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 ever willing to admit that that can even happen theoretically, then it's going to be difficult to have a serious conversation with you about any of this stuff, because it's just very clearly a factor in how the games are played. And I think the umpires have gotten plenty of cover for plenty long. So let's have a real conversation about it, not one that hides behind all of the old sayings and charges of homerism and this, that, or the other thing. Did he miss the call? Yeah. Should the ball game have been over? Yeah. Should he have to say something about that? Probably. But here we are. The robots are coming. Thank you all for listening into this episode of 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out Mile High Sports on all of the social medias, especially and including, I think I did that backwards, including and especially the Instagram, where we got a lot of short videos going up there, highlighting some fun things. Did one recently on Amador, focusing on some Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle stuff coming up, and some great Rockies history things there, too, if you want to reach back into the Wayback Machine and remember some fun things. So Thank you all for being absolutely awesome out there. You know that I will continue to be absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.